Amen. 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 Happy Mother's Day. To you guys, come back on Father's Day. Have you ever seen the difference between Mother's Day sermons and Father's Day sermons? Mothers, we're so sweet and we're so nice. And then on Father's Day, we're like, get busy, you piece of trash. We just beat the dads up, tell them they need to do better in leadership. And then to the moms, well, I hate to tell you this, moms, but you might get beat up today. I heard groans. That's all right, though. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Samuel 1 and 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Aim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu. Not really. Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. Is that right? What is it? There we go. That's close enough. All right. Whew. All right. Verse 2 gets better. He had two wives. Not that part. I'm just saying it gets easier to read. It gets easier to read. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife and to all, listen to this, her sons and her daughters portions. Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Some translations say double, extra. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? I like this. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. I don't think he actually took a marker, but I think he was watching her as she prayed. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. Listen to this, and I'm going to let you sit down. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. You can be seated. I don't do this, but I felt led to do this today. I'm not a very good holiday preacher. I'm not good at, like, I try to be led by the Lord and you know, get my sermon. But today's Mother's Day, and I felt like doing this today, and I hope it helps you. If I'm not good at it, just tell me after service, and we will never do this again. But I prayed about this, and I studied this. And I even got a title for my sermon, which I never do, hardly. Shane asked me after service usually, what do you want to call that? Sometimes he says it like it's a mess and he don't really know what to call it. But I got a sermon title for you today, Shane, so don't ask me after. And what we need is women of grace. We need more women of grace. And to you guys, just sit back, just relax. This ain't for you. I'll beat you up on Father's Day. But we need women of grace in the church. Can you say amen? Hannah's name means grace. And grace is often mispreached, misinterpreted, misunderstood. And we preach grace a lot of ways, but we preach it mostly as the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God. You can't earn it, and he forgives you. But when we read this lady's account, Hannah, she seems a little violent in what she's doing. I didn't say we need graceful ladies. Listen, lady, you can be a woman of grace and be very clumsy. That's okay with me. Has anybody ever had somebody in your family, like a girl that falls all the time? And somebody goes, oh, come here, Grace. Get up. Like they're not very graceful. Different kind of graceful. Some of y'all are laughing because that's you. You're clumsy. That's okay. You can still be a woman of grace and not be graceful. Because being a woman of grace means that you understand a few things. Hannah understood that she could produce something that she hadn't produced yet. She understood, and she wasn't satisfied with things. Though he gave her a double portion, though he gave her extra every year, because when you went up to offer the sacrifices, you wanted to make sure that everybody had something to sacrifice, so he would give to Paniah and her kids so that everybody would, and to Hannah, because she hadn't produced that yet, he gave to her extra because he loved her. And sometimes we got to be careful, because God's trying to do something through somebody and to somebody, and we coddle them. We try to bless them over top of that. Listen, it's okay to be uncomfortable in your walk with God. Let me say that again. It ain't always peaches and rainbows, but sometimes there's got to be something inside of you that says, I'm thankful, but I'm not satisfied. I'm so thankful for what God has done for me so far, but I'm not satisfied here because I know there's something more. And I appreciate the blessing, and I appreciate what you're giving me, but I'm not satisfied in this place because I know that God has called me to something more. What we need in the church is more women with that attitude that says, God, you sure been good to me, but I'm not satisfied here. I'm hungry for something else. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for pouring out extra. But I know I was designed for something more than just receiving this blessing at your hand. But I was designed to produce something. If you've ever had a woman of grace in your life, you understand what I'm talking about. Doug, I was a young man and raised in a home that was one went one way and the other went the other. And I watched my mother year after year after year after year serve God because she made a deal with God. You ever made a deal with God? The way I understand it, my brother was pneumonia. Thought he was going to die in the hospital, and she began to pray and said, God, if you bring him out of this, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. My brother came out of that, and since that day, time after time after time, I watched a woman of grace go through some things that most people would never be able to go through and still serve Jesus. There's a lot of reasons to quit, a lot of reasons to give up. But when you've got a woman of grace in your life, it's different because they got grit. They got something deeper than just superficial faith, but it's something that goes beyond the storm, that goes deeper. Some of you young ladies need to find a woman of grace in your life and follow her. Let me say that over here. Some of you young ladies I shook Denise's hand before church and I said, Happy Mother's Day. She said, Thank you. I said, You've done well. And Tinley said, She sure did. It's different than what the world has to offer their kids. Because when we look up Panaya's name, it means jewel. Let me give you another word. Bling. Little dated, but you get the point. Glamour. A little bit of shine to it. And there's a lot of moms out there, and I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen in people that I knew personally. There's a lot of moms out there trying to live through their daughters. If you don't know any, it's probably you. They didn't make it, so they want their daughter to make it, and they push their daughter to places that they should never push them to. And if you've never had to deal with that, thank God for that. But if you ever had a woman of grace in your life that went beyond the jewel and beyond the glamour and beyond all of that and was willing to show you what the grace of God was, that's the most important thing that you can ever have in your life. That's right. You can clap for that, because there's some out there that understand it's bigger than the trophy. It's bigger than the competition. It's bigger because there's eternity riding on this. There's some eternal consequences riding on this. And if you ever had a woman of grace in your life to tell you the hard things about Jesus, you ought to clap your hands that he loved you so much he gave her to you. I didn't have a strong Christian male role model in my life. I had a mom that would cry and pray until God would move, and that made a difference in me. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? My grandma, I still never figured her out. I'm not sure if she was saved, if she was lost. I knew she talked about Jesus and Elvis Presley. And I think she may have loved them both equally. But one day I'm at her house, and she gave me a Bible. Listen, people, my grandma had 18, 19 kids. Think about that. You know how many first cousins I have? What'd we add up one day? I mean, some of them had 4 kids. It's up in the close to 60 first cousins on just my dad's side. And out of all of those cousins, she gave me a Jimmy Swaggart study Bible. You have no idea. Listen to me, moms. Listen to me, women. You have no idea what that did to me. I was a little heathen child. I know, Jimmy. If y'all know, y'all know. You know the story. It wasn't about Jimmy Swagger. It was about the Bible. But I watched Jimmy Swagger growing up. And I watched all the charts and I did all that stuff as a kid. As a kid, I would watch that. Why? Man, I had that Bible and I'd read that Bible. It's as simple as giving somebody the Word of God sometimes that can change them. And that Bible changed me little by little by little. You say, no, it happens a lot. Now, let me tell you something about this Word. It'll change you. If a sinner reads the Bible, it'll do something to him. Amen. Amen. Jules was her name. The glamour and all the blessing and all the stuff that goes with it. And I understand the pressure that our society puts on women. Amen. They don't put that kind of pressure on men. They give us terms to make us feel better. Dad bods, and we're like, yeah. They don't give. At least I've not heard of mom bods. Because society puts so much pressure. Am I right? To look a certain way and act a certain way and reach a certain level and do all of this stuff. And forget about society. Because what they're putting out there is all the jewel, all the glamour, all of that. But God didn't call you to that. He called you to grace. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. When all of this wraps up, there's only one thing that matters. And it's not what kind of car you drove. It's not what kind of house you lived in. What mattered was this. Have you been covered in the blood of Jesus or not? And we need somebody that'll teach that. Amen. He poured out the blessing. She said, that's not enough. That's not enough. There were some things that she understood. Though those portions were very appreciated, there was something more she was designed to do. She was designed to produce something. Listen real close. I don't know one of Panaya's kids' names. Can I say that again? I don't know one of Panaya's kids' name. But I do know, because Hannah was a woman of grace and was not satisfied, and she went to the altar and she prayed like none other was willing to pray. Sometimes you got to pray a little deeper, Mom. You know the problem with men are, well, there's a lot. Somebody told me one time, they said, men get on my nerves. I said, mine too. That's why I married a woman. You know what the problem is? We think we can fix everything. Don't we? Most of us. Even a guy that don't know what to do with them has tools. Listen, I used to work in people's houses. It was amazing. Their garage would be full of tools. And I'd be working in their house and it's like, hey, man, could you put this refrigerator line in for me? Do you not know how? No, I don't even know how to do it. Well, why in the world you got all these tools for? Give them to me. Somebody that knows how to use them. I don't know why your garage is so full if you can't put a simple water line on your refrigerator. Men try to fix stuff. Let's be honest. We try to fix it before we pray about it. I had another woman of grace in my life, and that was my mother-in-law. And you know what she believed? She believed you prayed about everything. Everything. We would argue about praying about stuff. Randy, I was remodeling her bathroom one time, and this tile was really hard to tear off the walls, man. They used some really good mortar when they stuck it up there. And I'm beating and beating. And she came by and she said, you need to pray that that comes off there easier. And I said, I'm not wasting my time praying about this stuff coming off easier. I said, they stuck it with good glue, and because they stuck it with good glue, the physics state that it's going to hold on tight, and I'm going to beat it off there, and I'm not going to pray about it. And she said, to be a preacher, you sure don't have no faith. And she walked on down the hall, and I'm in there beating and beating, and I got every bit of it off without one prayer. And I got this huge pile of tile in the floor, and she came by, and she said, well, good Lord, how are you going to get all that out of there? I said, I thought about praying it floated down the hall in the back of the truck, but odds are I'm going to have to carry it. She said, no faith. You don't have no faith. But she taught me something. There's some things that we need to stop working on and start praying on. Oh, man, are you with me? We need to stop trying to fix it ourselves. I'm going to tell you right now, my wife will pray way faster than I will on a subject. I'm so sorry. Did I let y'all down as a pastor? Everybody looks at me. That's why we need women of grace in our life. Not a hard-headed man that says, well, I'll tell you what, we'll go down there and fix that. No, let's just pray about it, honey. Let's just pray about it. And let God work some things out. That's what a woman of grace understands. She understands that it's not in her, and she's not designed to fix it. She's designed to get a hold of him so he can fix it. Because I'm telling you right now, we serve a Savior that can fix it faster than we can ever fix it. Sorry, guys, I had to beat us up a little bit. She wasn't interested in the blessing. She was interested in producing something to give back to God. Her name was Grace. See, not only does grace forgive us, but let me tell you what grace does. Teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live soberly, godly, righteous. Where in this present world? That's what grace does. Let me tell you what grace will do. Grace will say, move out of my way. I've got an appointment with destiny, and I'm going to get a hold of the altar until God moves in my family and God delivers my kids from what the devil's got them bound by. That's what a woman of grace does, because she understands that she has to produce some offspring for the kingdom of God, and she's not satisfied until she gets that from him to give back to him. Are you with me? Listen to this. 1 Samuel 1:15. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. A woman of grace understands what it is to pour out her soul to the Lord. We had a men's meeting. What was that word you kept using that I didn't like? Vulnerable. Jason taught us about being vulnerable. And after service, I said, I don't like that word. He said, I know. He don't like it either. I don't want to be vulnerable. I want to be fortified. I like that word. Don't you? Which word do you like better? Fortified. You're just saying that because they're going to make fun of you. You say vulnerable now. You know what it's tough to do sometimes? It's tough to pour out our soul. Now, women, on the other hand, they will pour out their soul very rapidly. You're laughing because it's true, right? Hey, how'd your day go? Oh, you have no idea. Absolutely no idea. I went up there to Walmart, and let me tell you what happened. But when they understand, listen real close, ladies, stop pouring out your soul to your best friend and start pouring it out to Jesus. That didn't go good over there. There's only so much your friend can do. But man, when you get alone with him and you start pouring out your soul and make your petition known to him, you know what we need? We need more women like that, that's able to pour it out to him and get something done from the throne, and it'll change things. She knew what it was. Last verse. I'm almost done. If you don't like the sermon, at least the Mother's Day dinner afterward will be wonderful. Unless your mom can't cook, and then I'm sorry. Or you cook for your mom. I don't know how it works anymore. Two guys are walking down the street. This is a joke, and I'm going to tell it right now. Two guys are walking down the road, and they look over at a sign, and it says, come on in, just like mom used to make. And the guy kept walking. He said, hey, what's up? He said, my mom couldn't cook worth a lick, and I don't want to eat none of that. 1 Samuel 1:19, and they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Let me tell you what a woman of grace understands. She understands it's not about the bling. She knows how to pour her soul out to God. And she knows the importance of worship. She worshiped the Lord and he remembered her. And because he remembered her, she had a son. And she named him Samuel. Samuel, one of the greatest prophets that ever walked this earth. Because a woman of grace got a hold of God and he remembered her. Claire, you got a woman of grace in your life. Doug, you got a woman of grace in your life. Johnny, you got a woman of grace in your life. She puts some young people to shame. Amen. Where was you at Sunday? Oh, I couldn't make it. I had a tummy ache. I got the sniffles. Somebody really called me and said they had the sniffles. They couldn't come to church because they had the sniffles. AJ, I got the sniffles every day of my life. How many people have an issue every day of your life? Raise your hand. Come on, you know. You know who you are. Look at you. Something's going on all the time. I mean, my liver quivers. I mean, there's so much stuff that goes on. My ankle's hurting. This is hurting. Come on, anybody over 40 know what I'm talking about? You get up in the morning, you're just checking. Timmy, we used to jump bicycles and land and bend our rims where we couldn't even ride them. And get up the next morning and do it again. And now if I sleep wrong on my pillow, things are bad. Like, what happened last night? What in the world is wrong with us? She understood. She got it, Darren. Even when it hurt, even when it don't feel good, women of grace push through. I'm going to quit with this. Come on, Aaron. Has Lydia ever got sick and then you got what she got? You tried to quarantine her, but because I've talked to you before and you're like, nah, Lydia's back there. I quarantined her. Kept her back there. I got to work. I got to go to work. Keep her back there. And then you get what she had. And your whole world falls apart. And it lasts longer than she had it. It was, yeah, and you tell yourself that you got a worse strand than she had. Yeah. And there's no way we can ever know that it's not. But I don't believe it. I have got things from Tracy, and I went, did you feel this bad? There's no way you felt this bad. There's no way you did so good with it. And all you guys are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I got a fever. What is it, baby? 99.1. And here she's been rolling with 102 cleaning the house. I don't know. I don't, man, actually, honestly, maybe you ladies need to whine more. Maybe it is as bad as what we got. But you know what amazes me? Is somehow Tracy can keep going when I don't feel like it. Am I preaching to anybody? Come on, guys, you admit it. You're wimps. As soon as you, a man cold, that's what they call it now, right? It's a man cold. It's different. It's different. I think it's different. It is. I got to find a lady. Is it different? You think it's worse for him than it is for you? Hold on. She's so sweet. I need to find a woman that's not this sweet. It's like, yeah, it's worse on him. It's worse on him. You don't think he's just acting worse? Oh, okay, now the truth's coming out. She used the word whiner. Why are you telling us all this? Because I'm going to tell you what we need. We need women of grace in our church. And I'm so thankful we have some. That's more concerned about the kingdom. More concerned about producing for the kingdom than they are the blessing of this life. So if you got a woman of grace in your life, thank God for them. I got an amazing one. My wife is amazing. She's amazing. Sometimes when I fuss, she wants to pray. Gets on my nerves. She'll come tell me something. I'm like, well, I'll tell you right now, let's call them. Let's deal with this. We'll get down here. We'll get all up in their grill. Let's go. No, let's pray. Let's pray. Help me 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 pray. I watch her when she's tired and she comes to music practice. I watch her when she's wore out. She's like pouring into little kids. I think is this the first Easter that you didn't have nursery? Two Easters since we started the church that she didn't have nursery. You know why she did nursery on Easter? So that you could be in here to hear me. Maybe she's sick of me. Maybe that wasn't even. Maybe. No, she's like, I'm gonna miss the Easter sermon. I wanna do nursery. I wanna do nursery so that they can be in there and have church. Hey, you say, oh, that big deal. No, it's different when you see people operate in grace. What are we gonna sing? Happy Mother's Day to you. We're going to sing a song. Here's how we do this. If you need to pray, come and pray. If you're a lady in here today and you say, you know what? I need more grace. I need more grace in my life. We want to pray with you. If you say, you know, I feel like that's what God's calling me to, and I'm not satisfied in this spot, that I don't care how old you are. If he's dealing with your heart, come and pray. We'll pray with you. You know what? I want to leave a legacy. I want to pour something out into somebody. I want to get a hold of the altar until God moves. If that's you, would you step up and let us pray with you? Go ahead, Aaron. You can stand if you want. You can sit if you'd like. It's Mother's Day. You can do whatever you want.